Battle with Apollyon. But now, in this valley of humiliation, poor Christian was grievously challenged. He had gone but a little way before he spotted a foul fiend coming over the field to contend with him. His name was Apollyon. Then Christian began to be afraid, and to deliberate whether to go back or to stand his ground. But he again reasoned that he had no armor for his back. He therefore thought that to turn his back to Apollyon might give the fiend the greater advantage to easily pierce him with his darts. Therefore Christian resolved to stand his ground, for he thought, "Had I no more in my mind than the saving of my life, it would be the best way to stand." So he went on, and Apollyon met him. Now the monster was hideous to behold. He was clothed with scales like a fish. He had wings like a dragon, feet like a bear. Out of his belly came fire and smoke, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. When he'd come up to Christian, he looked upon him with an arrogant stare, and thus began to dispute with him. "Apollyon, where have you come from, and where are you going?"
"Christian, I've come from the city of destruction, which is the place of all evil, and I'm going to the celestial city."
"Apollyon, by this I perceive that you are one of my subjects, for all that country is mine, and I am the prince of it. How is it, then, that you run away from your monarch? Were it not that I hope you would return to my service, I would strike you down with one blow to the ground."
"Christian, I was born indeed in your dominions, but your service was hard, and your wages were such as a man could not live on, for the wages of sin is death."
"Apollyon, there's no prince who will thus lightly lose his subjects, nor will I lose you. But since you complain of your service and wages, be content to come back, and the best that our country can afford, I promise to give you."
"Christian, but I have pledged myself to another, even to the king of princes, so how can I, with fairness, go back with you?"
"Apollyon, you've gone from bad to worse. It is common for those who profess themselves to be his servants, after a while, to give him the slip, and return again to me. If you do so also, then all shall be well for you."
"Christian, I have sworn my allegiance to him. How then can I go back and not be hanged as a traitor?"
"Apollyon, you did the same to me, and yet I'm willing to overlook that, if now you will yet turn again and come back."
"Christian, what I promised to you was from my youthful foolishness. Besides, the king under whose banner I now stand is able to absolve me, yes, and to pardon my former compliance with you. Besides, O destroying Apollyon, to speak the truth, I like his service, his wages, his servants, his government, his company, and his country better than yours. Therefore, cease trying to persuade me further. I am his servant, and I will follow him."
"Apollyon, consider again what you're likely to meet with along the way that you're now going. You know that for the most part his servants come to a wretched end, because they are transgressors against me and my ways. How many of them have been put to shameful deaths? And besides, you count his service better than mine. But he never delivers any who serve him out of my hands. But as for me, how many times, as all the world very well knows, have I delivered those who have faithfully served me from him, either by power or fraud? Just so,
I will deliver you. Christian, his refraining to deliver his servants at present is on purpose to test their love, whether they will cleave to him to the end. You say that they'll come to a wretched ending, but in fact it is most glorious. As for present deliverance, they do not much expect it, for they wait patiently for their triumph, and they shall have it when their king comes in his glory with all of his angels. Apollyon, you've already been unfaithful in your service to him, so why do you think that you'll receive his wages? Christian, in what, O Apollyon, have I been unfaithful to him? Apollyon, you were discouraged at first setting out, when you were almost choked in the swamp of despond. You attempted wrong ways to be rid of your burden, whereas you should have waited until your king had taken it off. You sinfully slept and lost your scroll. At the sight of the lions, you were almost persuaded to go back. And when you talked of your journey and of what you have heard and seen, you were secretly proud of all that you said and did. Christian, all this is true, and much more which you've left out. But the king, whom I serve and honour, is merciful and ready to forgive. Besides, I acquired these infirmities in your country, and I have groaned under them, been sorry for them, and have obtained pardon from my king. Then Apollyon broke out into a furious rage, saying, I am an enemy to this king. I hate his person, his laws, and his people. I have come out on purpose to destroy you. Christian, Apollyon, beware what you do. I'm on the king's highway, the way of holiness. Therefore, take heed. Then Apollyon straddled over the whole road and said, I'm not afraid. Prepare yourself to die. I swear by my infernal den that you shall go no further. Here I will spill your blood. And with that, Apollyon threw a flaming dart at his heart. But Christian had a shield in his hand with which he caught the dart, and so prevented that danger. Then Christian prepared himself for battle, as Apollyon rushed at him, throwing darts as thick as hail. Yet notwithstanding all that Christian could do to avoid it, Apollyon wounded him in his head, his hand, and his foot. This made Christian slightly retreat. Apollyon therefore continued his furious attack. Christian again took courage and resisted as manfully as he could. This intense combat lasted for more than half a day, until Christian was nearly exhausted. For Christian, because of his wounds, was becoming weaker and weaker. Then Apollyon, seeing his opportunity, forced himself closer to Christian, and wrestling with him, gave him a dreadful fall, and with that Christian's sword flew out of his hand. Then Apollyon almost pressed him to death, so that Christian began to despair of life. Then Apollyon exclaimed, I am sure of you now. But, as God would have it, while Apollyon was fetching his last blow to make a full end of him, Christian nimbly stretched out his hand for his sword and grasped it, saying, Do not gloat over me, O my enemy! Though I have fallen, I will again rise. And with that he gave Apollyon a deadly thrust, which made him fall back as one who had received a mortal wound. Christian, perceiving that, rushed at him, saying, In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And with that Apollyon spread his dragon wings and sped away, so that Christian saw him no more for a season. No man can imagine what yelling and hideous roaring Apollyon made during all this combat, and on the other side what sighs and groans burst from Christian's heart. He struggled fiercely until he perceived that he had wounded Apollyon with his two-edged sword. Then, indeed, he looked upward with thanksgiving. So when the battle was over, Christian said, "I will here give thanks to him who delivered me out of the mouth of the lion, to him who helped me against Apollyon." Then a hand came to him with some of the leaves of the tree of life, which Christian took and applied to the wounds which he had received in the battle, and was healed immediately. He also sat down to eat the bread and to drink from the bottle which were given to him at the Palace Beautiful. So, being refreshed, Christian continued his journey, with his sword drawn in his hand, for he thought, "I do not know but that some other enemy may be nearby." But he met with no other attack from Apollyon through the remainder of the valley. Valley of the Shadow of Death. Now at the end of the Valley of Humiliation was the Valley of the Shadow of Death. Christian needed to go through it because it was the only way to the Celestial City. Now this valley was a very solitary place. The prophet Jeremiah thus describes it, a wilderness, a land of deserts and of pits, a land of drought and of the shadow of death, a land that no man but a Christian passed through, and where no man dwelt. Now here, Christian had a more difficult battle than in his fight with Apollyon, as you shall see by what follows. I saw then in my dream, when Christian came to the borders of the valley of the shadow of death, that two men hurrying back met him. They were children of those who brought back an evil report of the good land of Canaan. Christian then questioned as follows. Christian, "Where are you going?" They cried, "Back! Back! And if you prize either peace or life, then you will turn back also." "Why? What's the matter?" Christian wondered. "Matter?" they exclaimed. "We were going the same way as you are now travelling, and went as far as we dared. Indeed, we were almost past being able to come back, for had we gone a little further, we would not have been here to bring the news to you."
Christian,
"But what have you met with?"
Men, "Why, we were almost in the Valley of the Shadow of Death. But fortunately, we looked ahead and saw the danger before we came to it."
Christian, "But what did you see?"
Men, "See? Why, the valley itself, which is as dark as pitch. We saw hobgoblins, satyrs, and dragons of the pit. We also heard a continual howling and yelling like people under unutterable misery who sat bound in affliction and chains. And over that valley hangs the discouraging clouds of confusion. Death always spreads his wings over it. In a word, it is in every way dreadful and utterly chaotic."
Christian,
"In spite of what you've said, yet this is the way to my desired haven."
Men,
"Though it's your way, we will certainly not choose it for ours."
So they parted, and Christian went on his way, keeping his sword drawn in his hand, for fear that he would be assaulted. I then saw in my dream that as far as this valley stretched, there was a very deep ditch on the right hand. That is the ditch into which the blind have led the blind in all ages, and have both miserably perished there. Behold, on the left hand was a very dangerous quagmire, into which, if even a godly man falls, he can find no bottom for his foot to stand on. Into that quagmire King David once fell, and no doubt would have been smothered, had not he who is able plucked him out. The pathway through this valley was exceedingly narrow. Therefore Christian had great difficulty. For when he sought, in the dark, to shun the ditch on the one side, he was ready to tip over into the mire on the other side. As he carefully sought to escape the mire, he would almost fall into the ditch. Thus he went on, sighing bitterly. For besides the dangers mentioned above, the pathway was so dark that often, when he lifted his foot to step forward, he did not know where or upon what he would set it next. And in the midst of this valley, he saw the mouth of hell, which was very close to the narrow path. Now, thought Christian, what shall I do? The flame and smoke would continually come out in such abundance, with sparks and hideous noises, things which Christian could not fight with his sword, as he did Apollyon before. Therefore he was forced to put his sword away, and take up another weapon, called All Prayer. So he cried out, O Lord, I beseech you, deliver my soul! Thus he went on for a great while, with the flames still reaching towards him. He also heard doleful voices and rushings to and fro, so that oftentimes he thought he would be torn in pieces, or trodden down like mire in the streets. This frightful sight was seen, and these dreadful noises were heard by him for several miles. Arriving at a place where he thought he heard a company of fiends coming forward to meet him, he stopped and pondered what was best for him to do. Sometimes he had half a mind to go back. Then again, he thought he might be already halfway through the valley. He also remembered how he had already vanquished many dangers, and that the danger of going back might now be much more than for him to go forward. So he resolved to persevere on the dangerous path. Yet the fiends came nearer and nearer, and when they were almost upon him, he cried out with the most forceful voice, I will walk in the strength of the Lord my God. With this, the fiends retreated and came no further. It's important to note that now poor Christian was so bewildered that he did not know his own voice. Just when he'd come near the mouth of the burning pit, one of the wicked ones snuck up stealthily behind him, whispering and suggesting many grievous blasphemies to him, which he thought had proceeded from his own mind. This tried Christian more than anything that he met with before, to think that he would now blaspheme him who he loved so much. Yet, if he could have helped it, he would not have done it. But he had not the discretion to either stop his ears or to know from whence these blasphemies came. When Christian had travelled in this disconsolate condition for a considerable time, he thought that he heard the voice of a man somewhere ahead of him saying, Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Then he was glad, and for these reasons, first, because he realized by this that someone who feared God was in this valley, as well as himself. Secondly, he realized that God was with him, in that dark and dismal state, though he could not perceive him. Thirdly, he hoped that he could overtake the person ahead of him, and to have company soon. So Christian went on, and called to the person ahead of him. But that person did not know what to answer, for he also thought that he was alone. By and by, the day broke. Then Christian said, "He has turned the shadow of death into morning." Morning having come, Christian looked back, not out of a desire to return, but to see by the light of the day what hazards he'd gone through in the dark. He saw more perfectly the ditch which was on the one hand and the quagmire which was on the other side. He also realized how narrow the way was which lay between them both. Now he saw the hobgoblins, satyrs, and dragons of the pit, but all were afar off, for during the day they did not come near. Yet they were revealed to him according to that which is written. He reveals the deep things of darkness and brings deep shadows into the light. Now Christian was much affected with his deliverance from all the dangers of his solitary way. These dangers, though he feared them more before, yet he saw them more clearly now, because the light of the day made them conspicuous to him. Walking now in the daylight was another mercy to Christian, for though the first part of the valley of the shadow of death was dangerous, yet this second part, which he had yet to travel, was, if possible, far more dangerous. From the place where he now stood, even to the end of the valley, the whole way was so full of snares, traps, snags, nets, pitfalls, and entanglements, that had it now been dark, as it was when he travelled the first part of the valley, though he had 1,000 lives, he still would have perished. But just now the sun was rising. Then Christian said, "His candle shines upon my head, and by his light I walk through darkness." In this light, therefore, he came to the end of the valley. Now I saw in my dream that at the end of this valley lay blood, bones, ashes, and mangled bodies of men, even of pilgrims who had previously gone this way. While I was pondering this, I spotted a cave a little ahead of Pilgrim, where 2 giants, Pope and Pagan, dwelt in olden times. By their power and tyranny, the men whose bones, blood, ashes, and mangled bodies which lay there had been cruelly put to death. But Christian went by this place without much danger, whereupon I was somewhat bewildered. I've learned since that Pagan has been dead for a long time. As for Pope, though he's still alive, he is, by reason of old age, and also of the many defeats which he met with in his younger days, has grown so deranged in mind and stiff in his joints that he can now do little more than sit in his cave's mouth, glaring at pilgrims as they go by, and biting his nails because he cannot get at them. So I saw that Christian went on his way. At the sight of the old man who sat in the mouth of the cave, he could not tell what to think, especially because Pope spoke to him, though he could not go after Christian, saying, "You will never mend until more of you are burned." But Christian was silent, and so went by without being harmed. Then Christian sang, "Oh, world of wonders, I can say no less, that I should be preserved in that distress that I have met with here. Oh, blessed be that hand that from it has delivered me. Dangers and darkness, devils, hell, and sin did compass me while I this valley was in. Yes, snares and pits and traps and nets did lie my path about, that worthless, foolish I might have been caught, entangled, and cast down. But since I live, let Jesus wear the crown."